This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast for the week of January 12, 2007. This is episode 9.
Hello and welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. I'm your host, Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda, and co-hosting with me as usual is Trey, a.k.a. Astrakhan Zilu.
Hey, how's it going, Jay?
It's going pretty good. I just want to let everybody know and wish everybody a happy new year on the show. This is our second show of 2007, but this is actually the first show we've recorded in 2007, so I guess it's technically our first show of 2007.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. I wanted to also let everybody know that my voice may not sound as good, or it may actually sound better because I'm coming off of a cold because my family's been kind of sick, so.
Yeah, you sound terrible.
Thanks, man. Some of the things we're going to discuss this week are new module releases for Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2. And we've got a little speculation. We've got a little bit of information about that they possibly could be working on an Neverwinter Nights 2 dedicated server. Hmm. And tons of community news. But before we get to that, Trey, what's been going on with you lately, man? What have you been playing or what you been doing?
I've been playing, over the holidays I finished the original campaign. Well, I wouldn't call it finished. I got to the end and couldn't finish it, actually.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't get past the Chieftain Lizard Man. Anyway. I don't think my character was high enough up to get me through there, so I actually kind of gave up on it and started playing Shadows of the Undrentide for Neverwinter Nights 1.
So how far along are you in that one?
I'm actually to the interlude. I think there's like a chapter 1, an interlude, and then chapter 2.
Now, is that the one where that's not the Underdark, that's the one where they're under the mountain, is it?
No, okay, this is Undrentide.
Undrentide, okay.
No, that's Undren. Undrin, not under.
So there's the Hordes of the Underdark, and then there's the Shadows of the Undrentide, and that's what you've been playing.
Right, that's...
Okay. I've been playing some... That's what I started playing, was the Hordes of the Underdark.
Hordes of the Underdark is what I'm going to play next. But anyway, I got through the chapter one of that, and I like the way it interacts. It kind of behaves a little bit more like Neverwinter Nights 2 does in the way that you're companions interact with you, and I mean, you can actually change up their inventory like you could not do.
Yeah, most places in world models, you couldn't do that.
Little things like that, and so that was kind of cool and interesting. And then, so when I got to the end of chapter one of SOU, I switched over and played Neverwinter Nights 2 in Act 1 of that. So I've been busy playing quite a bit. For the holidays.
That's where I am too. I'm still in Act 1 of Neverwinter Nights 2 as well, but I've been taking a little bit of time every day and playing mostly the Neverwinter Nights 1 modules, Hordes of the Underdogs, and progressing in that quite a bit. Make any New Year's resolutions?
Any New Year's resolutions? No. I gave those up years ago.
I've resolved to play more gaming more as well.
Okay, everybody write that down.
Yep. And then hear how much we complain about not getting the game.
I've wanted to play more, so I thought, well, okay, I've got Neverwinter Nights 1 with all these premium modules that I can play. I've got Neverwinter Nights 2, got Battlefield 2142, Battlefield 2. So I've kind of been switching back between all those and getting some gaming time in.
Well, I depend on where I am and what machine I have with me depends on what I get to play. Since my laptop won't play Neverwinter Nights 2, if I'm somewhere where I'm laptop bound, then I'm playing in Neverwinter Nights 1. So that's how.
Oh, dude, did you see the email I sent to the clan the other day about the external video card for laptops?
I know
laptops
there were some
coming out
in development, but I haven't seen that. No, I know that there have been getting some.
Oh man, that looks really cool. It actually you actually plug it in through the PCMI MIA slot on your laptop, And it takes a normal laptop and gives you,
that's cool,
you know, 128K fast mamma jamma video card. It even has a dial on it.
Oh, really?
You can that's dial cool. Hand speed.
So you're going to get one of those?
I don't know. I might try and check it out. It's probably going to be $500 or $600 though. I didn't see a price on it. But that's probably what it would range. And I can't remember who put it out. I want to say, oh, it was Asus. Asus is putting it out.
Asus
or however you say them. Anyway, I digress.
That's all right. Hey, we've got some great things in the show coming up for you. One of the things we just finished was we just got a surprise interview with Mike Weimholt, who is the creator of the Neverwinter Nights or NW2Mods.com website, where you can download and see some prefabbed areas for Neverwinter Nights 2 coming up as our main interview for tonight. So stick around. We got some good stuff coming there. Before we do that, let's
get you some listener feedback.
Yes, that was a teaser. So let's get into the listener feedback, which is your voice to us and the rest of the community.
Yeah, this one is from quite a while ago, December 21st, actually. Which I guess, like you said at the beginning of the show, it's been a while since we recorded the episode. But anyway, we got some feedback from Da Nippers. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But anyway,
can't help but have a smile.
Anyway, they wrote, okay, I just heard episode 5 and 6 and agreed that the interviews are great. And I also like the host's voicing info on new and exciting Persistent Worlds. The bloopers on episode 6 were great. I was laughing my fiendish tail off. On a footnote, you mentioned your warlock couldn't be good when actually warlocks can be chaotic, good, or any evil. So no lawfuls unless lawful evil. And then they're kind of witty here. So when you rescue those kids, be sure to either use diplomacy or intimidate their mom and dad out of their protection or ransom money. So
well, that would be staying in character.
Yeah. So,
and then we got our first audio question. Is that what I hear?
Hi guys, this is Mike from the UK. Been listening to the podcast ever since I got my new iPod for Christmas, and I think it's great. I've been playing Neverwinter Nights 1 for about a year or so now. But always been fascinated in DM-based games, and I've never really had a background in pen and paper D&D. I've never really kind of got my head around how this stuff works. What I'd like to be able to do is to kind of sit in on a DM-led game and just kind of observe what happens. And I wonder if there is a way of doing that via Neverwinter Nights. Is there a game I can join where I can sit in, or is there something that's really tailored for beginners? Because I always get the feeling that online gaming is full of people who know exactly what they're doing, and there isn't a lot of room for people who don't. So what are your thoughts on this? Is there a way for a D&D novice like me to sit in on a Dungeon Master-led game?
And actually, there is a website that I came to become familiar with when we started the podcast called neverwinterconnections.com. And if you...
That's exactly the same site I thought about, too.
And if you go over to that website... That's all that's the whole website, and it looks like it's been around for quite a long time. But you can go to that website and you can sign up on the website. They post daily what games are being held and who's DMing them, and you can click on the DM's name and find out about them. And so my suggestion, Mike, would be that you go over to that website and get on their forums and start asking around, hey, I'm kind of a beginner at this, so I kind of want to sit in on some. How can I do that? And I'm sure they'll let you do that.
Yeah, the whole purpose of the No We're Not Connections site is to get people together that want to play DM-led games or just play games in general. So if there's someone out there that wants to DM or set up in a DM event, this is the one, I think the only tool I know of that allows them to go in and schedule and let people do it. So
it's the only one I've seen so far. And so I'm sure now that we said that, somebody will probably write, if they know of another one, they'll probably write in and let us know, I would think.
I hope so.
But anyway, you join up and you become a member. When you log in, you come to a members area. There's a message system, so if anybody's left you a message like, hey, we're going to be playing some game this time or whatever, you also have a schedule of your games in the next 24 hours that you've signed up for. And they also looks like they have some like script contributions, so the people have written scripts, they can contribute them to the community here on the website. So it's pretty organized, pretty extensive.
I believe most recently, on the homepage at the very bottom, it shows two lists of recently or the newest added games.
And if you click on one of those, you can go there and it tells you how many slots are open. And it has a link here that says click if you wish to apply. I guess you could apply to play the game. So that's what I would suggest, Mike, that you go to that website and ask around. And I wouldn't just go join again, because I did notice that on some of them, there are certain levels. Like, I see one here that they need 8, 10th to 15th level players. So, and then there's some that say 1st to 7, 1st to 4th, 14th. So probably some of those that start out at first level would be probably the ones that you would get to play, you know, participate in.
The Mod Spotlight is a section of the show where we highlight a module that has been created by the community. This is a unique opportunity for a modding team to discuss their mod to the community in their own words and in their own voice. If you are a mod developer and would like to be featured in the Mod Spotlight, just follow the instructions on the Submit a Mod Light, on the Submit a Mod Spotlight page of our website, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Rogue Dio Studios announces the Planescape Trilogy. A massive campaign set in the infinite plains where Obsidian Entertainment's Neverwinter Nights 2. The Planescape Trilogy will deliver up to 45 hours of gameplay, 16 adventuring companions, an epic main plot, and a slew of dynamic side quests. The first module, Purgatorio, will hit the vault in the first quarter of 2007. Dusk settles in around the gate town of Ribcage as you arrive. The Factotum needed someone to get the dark of the goings-on in the stinkhole on the edge of Baltor. The Factors choose you, someone they thought was expendable. The high-ups in Seigel didn't count their layers right. Didn't count on you being a canny cutter. You're from the cage. You got no intention of getting boxed. But now you're sulking in a metal cup-only bar waiting for the local parrot. There's a prod over in the corner with a real hard one for causing trouble, and you're getting peery about the whole setup. But hey, you're the one who volunteered.
So in our community news section this week, we have Mark who has joined us. How you doing, Mark?
Not too bad. Yourself?
You're busy working on your project tonight?
Yes, I am. A lot of database debugging. We are playing around with the 1.04 beta a lot because there's a lot of improved DM client functionality. So we're mostly making sure that it wasn't a false promise and that everything is actually working properly.
Cool. Well, we asked Mark to join us tonight because I'll let you kind of talk about this too, Mark, but you have some new staff positions that you've posted on your main page, and you were wanting us to help you spread the word about them.
We do have several new staff positions open right now. We're still looking for more people in mapping, so if anyone's got a lot of mapping talent, we do have a few good mappers, and we're looking for some more. We do have one scripting position open, although not really a lot left open in that department, because me and Godbeast have most of that covered. He's a phenomenal programmer, and he's designed our entire loot plugin for NWNX, and we even have a remote tool to create custom loot tables for that now.
Cool. And I take it you do not want inexperienced people.
No, no, definitely you have to have played around with the tool set a little bit. We are looking for DMs still, too, because we already have a few, but we're looking for some more, you know, people with a background in PNP, preferably.
Cool. Have you heard of the website Neverwinter Connections?
Yes, I have. Oh? I'm familiar with that site.
I don't know if you've ever thought about going there and asking if there's any DMs interested there.
Actually, yeah, it's not a bad idea. I should probably do that sometime. I just haven't had the time to register there. It's just another place that, you know, I got to think about.
I was going to say, so with you saying that the patch 104 has been released and you've been testing some of that out, how's that going? Is it living up to the promises right now?
Yeah, the big thing was the DM client. It was crashing a lot, which made it really difficult to DM games, obviously. It mostly had to do with area transitioning. So that's working fine now. We haven't had any crashes yet, and we've been running everything in tandem. And the other big thing was the PWC files have been cut down in size a little bit because they've made some changes to that. But overall, the DM client feels a lot more polished now. Everything seems to be working. All the little shortcuts that I remember from the first Neverwinter seem to be in there now.
So I know that Sundren, as a persistent world module, was you guys were kind of waiting on the 104 patch. So you feeling pretty confident now that you guys are going to be going ahead with the beta real soon?
Yeah, definitely. We're looking at the next week or two when 1.04 comes out. Right now it's mostly crunching down bugs, and we're getting some more areas in the module until we release for the open beta. But this is definitely what we were waiting for, because now we can have the DMs in there without, you know, being really paranoid that the server is going to be crashing constantly. There's still going to be some more that's going to be in 1.05. I can't remember offhand, but there's still some other issues that will really all come to play in 1.05, and I think Neverwinter Nights 2 as a whole should be quite a finished product by 1.05.
Also in the community news, we came across a website about a new Dragonlance movie that's coming out, and I'm a kind of big fan of the Dragonlance books. I've read a couple of them, and they were pretty good. But I think this is really cool that a movie's actually coming out about it, a full-blown, at-the-theater movie production. So if you get a chance, check that out. It's www.dragonlance-movie.com.
Do they say what story they're going to tell? Do they give you any kind of preview of any of that? Because I'm a big fan of Dragonlance book myself, but my favorite were the Dragonlance Chronicles. I'm wondering if it's going to be around that story or which, there's so much.
The film is going to be an animated version of Dragons of Autumn Twilight. The film is being directed by Will Merganiot. He actually did Stargate Infinity and The Real Ghostbusters. Screenplay was adapted by George Strachan, whose credits include Cleopatra 2525 and Xena, the Warrior Princess. It's supposed to be released in the autumn of 2007 in the Northern Hemisphere and spring of 2007 in the Southern Hemisphere.
For all the news, tips, interviews, and reviews of Neverwinter Nights, check out the Neverwinter Nights podcast at neverwinternightspodcast.com, also available in the iTunes Store. Get in game and level up, level up, level up.
In our community spotlight this week, we came across we received an email from a new website called thievesguild.net. And they have kind of a unique story. They sent out an email to us telling about the site, especially if you like to play a rogue, hence, you know, Thieves Guild. They email us and they thank us for taking the time to register on the website. And then they also wanted to tell us about how desperate they were in need, and wanting to appeal to our goodwill, that they started this website as a pastime in their free time about 5 weeks ago, and they never thought the site would be as successful so quickly. And so they actually asked if we would be willing to donate, you know, say $1 to help keep up the site and hey, you know, dollar's not much, so I went ahead and pitched in that little amount, you know, because it doesn't hurt your wallet. Anyway, they go on to say that within 5 weeks, they had almost 6,000 members registered, and was causing an enormous amount of traffic on their site. And they're an official fan page, and they're listed on the NW2 sites, and they are posted in the news regularly. So seems to be a new website that's really taken off. And the reason they were needing donations is because I guess they're over in Europe is where they're being hosted.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with the way European hosting companies work, but they charge for the kilobyte of download.
Yeah, their hosting costs went up dramatically when those 6,000 people started hitting the site regularly.
Yeah, the more the people hit the site and the more things they get downloaded and more content comes down, their costs just went through the roof.
Oh, and their site just has all kinds of stuff on it. It's really got lots of stuff. And anyway, they go on to say that their current package of hosting allows them to have monthly traffic of about 25 gig. So on the 12th of December, they hit 42 gig. And so every gig above the limit, they have to pay €1. So he goes on to say, as a student of computer science, they just couldn't afford those costs, so that's why they asked for help. And I take it, out of those 6,000 people, they surely probably got lots of people that wanted to help out. So they go on to say that they really want to continue the site, and so they wanted the site to be one of the best NWN2 sources out there, so they were needing their help. So to control the hosting costs, they needed to order a new server to handle all that new traffic. And so they were asking for small donations of $1 or €1 to help keep the site alive. You know, that little amount won't hurt your wallet. So if you're willing to help, please go out there and help them. I went ahead and donated €1 for the podcast, and in return, Cal1S, I guess is the guy who runs the site, he posted some news about us on their website, so appreciate that. And so everybody take a few minutes and donate. You can find the donation button on their main page, and that's thieves-guild.net. So check out the show notes for the link and go donate.
Well, I've got some module releases that have came out on, or should I say, NeverWinter Nights 2 Game World database updates. We've got a new in-development world called Thay, which is the realm of the Red Wizards, and that module has gone into development, and there's some information about that on the Vault. And then the Tavern of Doors is a role-playing module that's set in the persistent worlds of Planescape City of Sigil, I'm going to think. It's S-I-G-I-L, and I probably said that wrong. This got a leveler, an alignment changer, gold maker. It's got some basic weapons and armor. It's got a crafting system, arena, and a target range. And there's a link to the PWC file for download for that. So those are the new content for NeverWinter Nights 2 that's out right now. All right, I also came across a post on Sorcerer's Place in their forums where Darren Monahan, the producer of Obsidian, had a thread on the BioWare gaming forums talking about the 103 patch and dedicated server. And I'll just read it to you so you can kind of keep up what's going on. The interesting part of it I thought was at the very end, but he just says, hello, happy new year from Obsidian. So they're putting together a dedicated server for version 103 and wanted to give everyone a quick peek of what they were doing. And they go talk about they're putting that together an updater for the server, very similar to what we have for the client now, so you can click and get the server updated automatically instead of having to download the whole package and rework it. What I thought of and keyed on real quickly is the last couple lines is, unfortunately, this tool will not create or include a Mac or Linux version of the server. My hopes kind of dropped, but everybody said, we hope to have better news on that front soon. Which kind of picked my spirits up a little bit there, especially thinking back to last week's episode when we got the feedback from Ryan that they had been asked to look into Linux and Mac's clients and servers, but hadn't had an official word yet. So kind of putting some two and two together, and it looks like we should hear some announcements around Mac clients and Linux clients and servers really soon. So maybe that's forthcoming. If you are a cleric, druid, sorcerer, or wizard, it is highly desirable to have at least 16 in your primary spellcasting ability score.
You will eventually need to raise this score to at least 19 to cast your most powerful spells. Bards and warlocks should have high charisma, but this is not as great a necessity for these classes. A paladin or ranger should have a wisdom of at least 12. Okay, today we had the chance to get a hold of Mike Weimholtz, the creator of Neverwinter Nights 2 mods. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, to let everybody know a little bit about yourself, why don't you give us some of your background and where you're from and, you know, give us the rundown.
The rundown. Let's see. I live on the Central Coast here in California. I basically started Neverwinter or NWN2 mods to house some modules I intended on making with the Neverwinter Nights toolset, the new one, and I started doing that with the pre-release of the toolset. And from there, after getting a couple mods up, it's I had some mods get some attention, some people joining the forums wanting to know how I made some of these mods, and just kind of took off from there.
So how long have you been involved with the Neverwinter Nights community or the modding community itself? Have you modded any in Neverwinter Nights 1, or is Neverwinter Nights 2 pretty much your introduction to it?
I did do some modding in Neverwinter in the first one. I waited for that game to come out for years, and when it came out, I played it a bit, but jumped right into the tool set. I knew that's where I was going to be spending a lot of my time, so I did create some modules. They were up on various sites, and those were full-blown modules with encounters and the works, as opposed to pretty much what I do now is I build mods and areas that are for basically for other developers to pick up and continue on. I haven't really had the time to put in all the encounters and NPCs and the scripting that I used to, and so I thought I would leave that to others.
So were they persistent worlds or just single-player campaigns? Or
no, these were single, you know, single campaign, little modules. I made one that was a lot in the style of, I had somebody tell me it was like Bourne Identity. Basically, your character starts not remembering who he or she is on a, you know, along a river, if I recall correctly. And so anyway, the whole module was based around, you know, walking to the nearby town and adventuring from there, trying to figure out how you came to be there. And that was the first module I made.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
It is.
So how did you get the idea for Neverwinter Nights 2's mods? I know that you mentioned earlier that you just needed a place to host it, but it's grown to be much more than that, I think, than what your initial idea was. So how did you get the idea to make it what it is now?
Yeah, it did initially start as just a place to host the files. What happened was I was starting to build these areas and finding that the toolset, I was very comfortable with the toolset for whatever reason. And I built a few areas and eventually did the arena, Roman-style arena, and it got a lot of attention. I heard a lot of, you know, descriptions of it, you know, thinking outside the box, using the tool set in ways, you know, that people hadn't thought of, but here was, it was the tool set had barely been out, so for me it was kind of, you know, like, it didn't seem like it was anything spectacular, but a lot of people really latched on to the idea of, you know, designing these areas, trying to think of new inventive ways to use the tool set, even though it was still pretty new. And that's pretty much what I shifted focus on, was that I'm going to start working on areas that push the tool set. I'm going to try to think of ways of using it that other people aren't going to think of, because it's not going to take much time. There's going to be plenty of modules and stuff out there. So basically I just wanted to focus on doing stuff that people hadn't seen or thought of. That's going to get harder as time goes by, but that's pretty much what the focus has been, and has really moved into showing other people the techniques that I use.
Yeah, I noticed I was going to go ask you about the main focus of the site, but you know, you've touched on that just already. And it's, I was going to say, it's just not you wanting to do these. There's other people working on it as well. And I think if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, did I also see a thread in your forums where you were talking about getting a list of areas that people would like to see created and then just working off that list.
Yeah, I basically wanted to get a list together and see what people
It's almost like a prefab wish list, almost.
Yeah. And I have a lot of ideas, constantly thinking of areas that I can make, but I wanted to hear from other people what they thought might be fun to have, or what might, you know, what a lot of other people might actually want or use regularly. So I thought I, you know, would just kind of throw that into my vault of ideas and to toss around. So, I mean, that's, the arena came up. Somebody had talked about something similar. I forgot how I got on the subject of the arena, but it, somebody had mentioned an idea for a module, and I thought, you know, an arena might be kind of fun. And so it's kind of a chance for me to get ideas from everybody and toss them around and see if I couldn't change one or come up with something cool that other people might be interested in.
Yeah, the first time I saw an arena was in the Nordoc Persistent World. Remember that, Jay?
Yeah. I've seen it, and several sites have tried to do it, but they all do it a little differently. So I think that's where they're coming up with your approach to it was unique in itself because of the way that you you came about getting it, especially in the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set. I liked your site because I got there because before we started the podcast, our clan had talked about doing a Persistent World module with a tool set when he got here, and a couple of us were in the tool set beta and really had a lot of fun with that. But we haven't had time to. Like I said, the tool set is so much more powerful now than what it was for Neverwinter Nights 1 with the train painting and stuff like that. That's really stumped me. And I think that's stumping a lot of people. And then there's people like yourself that are excelling at it. So a site like yours makes a perfect fit in there in between because I think I downloaded, you have four prefabbed areas right now? Four or five?
Oh, do I have? Yeah. Yeah, it's at about five right now. I have a number of other ones, but.
Yeah, I actually pulled down the one on the coast, or the city on the coast, the swamp, and the jail.
Yeah.
And I thought with those three, we were going to work out making just a mini mod out of there called, just, you know, about a jailbreak. You had to get from the city to through the swamp, to the prison, and bust somebody out. So, real simple, but it allowed me to focus on the scripting, which is what I wanted to learn. Instead of having to learn how to prefab the area, so.
And that's kind of what I was going for, and have been going for is I've been so busy with work and everything that this allowed me to get my creativity, kind of spill it out into the tool set and create an area without having to dive into the scripting and encounter and leave that to people like yourselves, people who want to just jumpstart right in without having to get around the clutter I might put in there that they don't want. You know, I just get the area laid out, the buildings, some placeables, and leave the rest to other people that have the time and the desire to put those in.
I think it's going to make it where I could actually do something. So, where I don't know, before I were about to say that, I don't think we were going to be able to do something. Which brought us to another question that you and I discussed a little bit earlier via email was, how do you feel that prefab areas will become, how important do you think those are going to be, and how popular do you think they're going to be with Neverwinter Nights 2?
I think, I can't remember exactly what I said earlier, but I know it was something along the lines that I think it's going to be more important in Neverwinter 2 than the first one, simply because the tool set is so much more complex that it's... I don't want to say turn people off. They definitely like this, the new tool set, but there's people who have decided, that they just don't have the time or the skill to jump into it and learn it. And so with the prefab areas, they're going to be able to grab those and snap them together, like you had explained earlier. And I think, like I said, they're going to be definitely more popular here in, the second one. Obviously, in Neverwinter, in the first one, there was tons of mods and a lot of areas and stuff, and people were downloading those like crazy too, but I think that they'll play a more important role here and that they're going to fill the gaps for various, persistent worlds or, many other uses, where people aren't going to have the time or energy to dive in and get started like that.
Oh, I totally agree. The tool sets for the Aurora tool set for Neverwinter Nights 1, didn't have a very steep learning curve. You could just pretty much jump in and start creating exterior and interior areas really easily, real quickly. With the tool set the way it is now for Neverwinter Nights 2, it's much more powerful in that a lot of people sometimes miss that power comes with complexity. And especially for the exterior areas, it I've got a huge learning curve just to get back into it, especially with the walking paths and all that kind of fun stuff, because it really can, you can really make it where you've got an area you can't get to. So, well, yeah.
Mike, have you had a lot of people asking you to build, you know, areas or worlds for you for Neverwinter Nights 2?
Yeah, that's actually happened quite a bit. I use Outlook, you know, and get my email through the website and everything. I had to create a directory, a folder, just for those kind of requests. I was getting a lot of them. I've been offered a lot of different things to do those. You know, some people offer money, some people offer, you know, just a credit to do these things. Wow. Not that those even matter. I wish I had the time to dive in and do my own persistent world, honestly. Or I wouldn't even mind being part of a team with other people. And I just love doing it. It's just so much fun. The problem is the time, of course, finding the time to do all this.
Well, one of the things that we found out by doing this podcast is, we've met some people who are doing persistent worlds. So if you want us to put us in touch with any of those, just let us know.
Yeah,
you know, something you might be interested in the future.
Yeah, and I had told a few people that getting on board with a, you know, persistent world, like on a team where I was designing areas, would definitely be something that, you know, appeals to me. It's pretty fun. The only problem is the time, so I couldn't really commit the time, and that's been part of the problem, keeping me from accepting any kind of, you know, I'll join your team, and I've pretty much put that on hold.
Well, the few that we've worked with are approaching it very similar to the way you are. They will set aside, you know, say, we need an area that's XYZ. And then someone comes up on the team and goes, oh, I'll build that area. And that person starts working on it. And they all understand that's in free time and they're, you know, it's not your primary job. So you're just going to do it when you get a chance to it. And I don't think they've been putting a lot of time constraints on a lot of them. But what I was going to ask you about was, there seems like an opportunity here to do just the reverse, instead of becoming a member of a mod team, to actually be like a community team that creates prefabs where people could submit, like you're getting the emails, a request for an area, and then I was going to ask you if you were trying to get together a team of people just to do that. Whenever you finish talking about, you talked earlier about people asking you to teach them or show them how you create these areas, and I'm sure you're putting tutorials and sending them emails and all kinds of stuff. But if they ever say, hey, I'd like to help you, like on the forums post you had, you know, here's a list of areas, and one of them just say, hey, yeah, I want to do this area, and then contribute that to your site. So your site starts becoming this humongous catalog of prefabbed areas.
Yeah, that's actually one of a few possible next steps of the site. Obviously, it would require some time, to put into the structure of the website and everything to manage those kind of things, which I'm capable of, and I have, you know, other people around me that are capable of those kinds of things. It's just, and it's something I've even talked about in the forums. I've talked with a few people that have offered to do various things. Kind of the next logical step is building a team, like you said, and doing prefab areas for the site as a team, maybe even doing some work for other persistent worlds.
Exactly. It's easy to think, it is the next logical step, because it's easy to see how your sites are already geared directly. Like, it's not a big step.
Yeah, it's like the next natural step. Yeah,
yeah, it's a natural,
and like I said,
progression.
It comes down to the time and trying to, you know, it's a big step, and it's one I'm trying to decide whether I have the time and resources to put into it or not. I'd like to. I definitely would like to. It would require a number more people, you know, committing to help me out. And so it's definitely a possibility. It's definitely something I would like to see happen. Definitely the next step for the site. But we're going to have to see over the next month or two whether we can get something worked out.
Well, are you just going to be looking for help with modding, like putting like a modding team like we were talking about earlier, or are you going to need some people to help just like admin the site or monitor the forums or things like that?
Well, probably both of those. I would be looking for people dedicated to building prefab areas at a don't want to say regular pace. I don't want to say like X number of prefabs per, you know, X amount of time, but people who step up and say, yeah, I'd like to be part of this team. I'm willing to do approximately this many areas, you know, per month or whatever. I think once some of those kind of things are outlined and you have a number of people step up into those kind of roles, then that next step, you know, is a lot easier to take.
Well, I think I'm excited about watching your site and seeing what happens there, because I feel like these kind of areas are going to become very important to module developers and people wanting to build worlds or campaigns, because the complexity of the tool set has gotten so much more. And speaking of that, I'm kind of throwing you a question maybe you haven't had prepared for, but
I always got to throw one of those in.
How would you compare your experience with the Neverborn Nights 1 tool set with the Neverborn Nights 2 tool set, and maybe some likes or dislikes of each one of those?
Ooh, that's a tough one. With Neverwinter, the first one, I built, you know, all my modules and all my modding happened within the first year that the game came out. In fact, less than that. And there was a big fall off. I pretty much stopped doing stuff. I burned myself out really fast and really haven't touched it since. So it's hard for me to remember back. And comparing, obviously, was, you know, we talked about the difference in complexity. The first one was a lot easier for anyone to pick up and go with. But, you know, when the tool set came out, I mean, obviously with the screenshots and everything, I wasn't in beta or anything, but I saw the screenshots and just instantly fell back, you know, into the Neverwinter Nights, you know, mode. I was ready to go again. It had been so long. And when I got a hold of the pre-release, you know, I dove right in and loved it. It, you know, of course, I thought back to all the differences between the first and second, but you know, this tool set has just blown me away. Its power, and I'm constantly thinking of anything and ways to do it. You know, this doesn't seem like it could be done, but you know, there probably is a way to do it. And I love that process, and it's made the tool set a lot more interesting, I guess you could say, compared to the first one. With the first one, everything is pretty straightforward. You know what you can and can't do, and the limitations are pretty well known up front. But with this one, because you can do so much, you're never quite sure what can or can't be done until you get going with it. You might start to do something you think is not possible and turn out doing it perfectly. So that's what I really enjoy about this tool set, is the unknown.
Yeah, it is extremely powerful what you can do with it. That's why I'm wanting to, even though the game Neverwinter Nights 2 is still fairly young, there are already extended crafting systems coming out. I'm talking about scripting side right now, because I've been reading a lot about that. I mean, you guys got the prefab areas, and there's other people that are, some other areas that are coming out with those as well. You can find some on the vault. But just every day you look at what's been released out there, and there's more and more people getting fired back up about it, and you see the community coming alive. It's going to be really exciting to see what happens in the next several months.
Hey, I thought of another easy question.
Oh, well, I like easy ones.
I was looking at your list of mod projects that you have out here on the website. What would you say was your most favorite project that you did? You know, what did you like about it? Kind of tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, definitely I'm going to have to go with the arena, because I knew what I wanted to make. When it came into my mind, I thought, you know, I don't know if I can do that. And my first thought went to doing it using interior stuff and using the tools from, you know, the interior tile sets. But when I started thinking about the stands and everything, and getting the whole walkable area set so people could be up at higher levels, I just realized that I needed to do an outdoor. And once I started working in that exterior and building the arena, I was just I had a lot of fun doing that one, and realizing that I had figured out how to do this thing that was in my head, and I had an idea that a lot of people would be interested in, you know, the process and be interested in the mod. It obviously you know, was a lot more popular than I thought it would be. But that one definitely sticks out. I had a lot of fun with it. I love how it turned out, and I still get a lot of feedback on that.
I'm looking at the screenshots that are out here. That is pretty slick.
Yeah, and I included a pretty much a step-by-step. As I got started, I knew how I was going to build this thing as I was going, so I took screenshots as I went. There's a post in the forums that's called The Arena Step-by-Step, and it has, you know, I think it's 6 or 7 screenshots and you know, paragraphs of me describing how I went about it, including the scale size of various placeables, how many I used, how I stacked them at what heights, and kind of that whole process. We actually had somebody on the forums go through my process, follow it through, and make their own arena. And that was really exciting for me because while they followed my step-by-step process, they added in their own kind of style. So in the end, it turned out looking a little different than the way mine did, and it looked really good, and that really surprised me and you know, made me feel really good about putting the process out there. You know, it's not just something to read, but you can actually follow it, and here was an example of somebody going through and doing it.
Jay, I'm looking at some of the screenshots. It actually reminds me, you know, of some of the maps that we used to play in Unreal. Unreal 2004 is kind of...
Yeah, it's getting really close to that. Of course, you're talking totally different engine and rule and right. Development environment. But it's starting to rival some of that kind of stuff. So, Mike, if somebody listening to the show would like to get involved, like to help you admin the site, or they're interested in, you know, helping you take the next step into a modding team, what would be the best way for them to get involved, or the best way to contact you and get involved with that?
The best way to get involved would be to join in the forum, the conversation we have in there. I check it regularly, daily. We have people in there very active, posting their own mods, and I pretty much put everything in there. I don't post any of this kind of information to the site where we're discussing possible projects or anything like that. All of that happens in the forums, and people, I'm constantly putting questions out there, like, would people be interested in this? Is this a good idea? So that's the place to go, because you can reply to that, say, hey, I'm here, that sounds fun, I'm in, and that's pretty much how I decide, you know, if I'm going to put in the effort to do things, is I'll put out the idea and say, do you think this is interesting? Would you be willing to be involved in something like this? You know, and I'll look, and if there's not enough interest in it, then I'm not going to get into it. So that's definitely the place to be.
I know I'm going to be checking there quite frequently myself. So anybody that's interested in that is nwn2mods.com. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and thanks, Mike, for putting us in your affiliate links there on your website. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So I know some of the other affiliate links you got there, talking about modding, is the Nevermore Nights 2 toolset website. How closely do you know those guys, or do you?
Actually, very, pretty closely. We've gone, we go back and forth. He's, got some of the... I think a few of my tutorials over there, and we talk regularly. We started talking on the Neverwinter Night forums, actually, and our projects go so well together. In fact, somebody had mentioned to me, oh, we need a section in the forums where we can post our tutorials, and I said, well, you know, he's got tutorials over there, including some of my own, with those tutorials over there, people see how to do stuff, and they can actually come over to my site and see, the areas themselves. You can download them, yeah. And then, of course, we have, affiliated with him. We show that he has a bunch of tutorials. In addition to, the modules you're looking at, you can find out how to do those kind of things over his site. So, been a productive relationship.
Yeah, those two sites, I've stumbled across yours and his. About a month or so ago, and I've been looking, checking them pretty frequently, and I've been really impressed with the quality of the information that's there.
Yeah.
I had one more question I wanted to ask you. It's kind of going back talking about module development. When you're developing your mods, do you try to stick strictly with what there is to offer in the tool set as it is now? I mean, no added hack packs or extra tile sets, or are you going to see yourself in the future venturing off into using some of the, say, the community tile set or the community expansion pack or any of that kind of stuff in your mods?
Well, there's I avoided them in the first one. Not that there was a whole lot of those by the time I was slowing down, but in this time around, It's pretty much been the same. I've been not using those. It's funny. There's a number of plugins that I want to use too, and I'm actually finding myself not using any of them, just kind of sticking to the tool set as it is. I really like the idea that people can just kind of grab the areas and go with them from there. I could you know, use various you know, things like those, but I think I leave that up to whoever's downloaded the mod. You know, like I said, I generally make my areas for other developers, and so if they want to take it a step farther and use those kind of things, that's fine. It's not something that I felt I needed to get into, and it saves me time, it saves me, you know, hassle, or is somebody else going to, you know, be able to run with this or not? So I've pretty much stayed away from those so far. Not to say that I wouldn't use those in the future, though.
Yeah, I know the only one I think that would really might interest you would be the tile set project, if you're wanting to do some other interiors that might not be capable in the tool set the way it is.
Yeah.
Because when we got to looking into it doing our mod, the first thing we started doing was kind of a compare and contrast between mobs in Neverwinter Nights 1 versus what was available in Neverwinter Nights 2. And, you know, one of the big things and selling points they made up on Neverwinter Nights 2 was that they were really, Obsidian was really proud of the two dragons they added. Well, that's the only two that's in the tool set.
Yeah.
I mean, there were like seven or eight dragons in the old tool set. And
yeah.
So we just got and I know that's how we started out in Neverwinter Nights 1. There wasn't a whole lot of that, but as they released more premium modules, more stuff became available because it was already on everybody's machine, so.
Yeah. And that's what you see a lot of people talking about too, is, you know, where's the rest of the dragons, and that's the next thing too, is that they'll
come. And that's why I was asking, because the Community Expansion Pack team and the tile set team have filled in a lot of that gap, and they all have plans of bringing that stuff into Neverwinter Nights 2 as well, so.
Yeah. And I'll definitely be, you know, I definitely keep an eye out for those things, definitely checking into those, but so far, I haven't, you know, got into any of those yet for the mods I'm putting up.
So, Mike, do you have any questions for us or anything?
Oh, questions for you guys. Actually, you know, I was actually wondering if you had done these podcasts before, or has this just been a Neverwinter Nights thing?
Trey, you want to answer that, or you want me to
answer?
Okay. Now, this is the actual first podcast we've done. We have listened to several about games. And I did some DJing, radio DJing, when I was in college, and that was my job that I worked through school with. I worked at the college radio station where I went to school, and then I had a full-time job in the evening from the 5 to midnight guy, and that's when it's shutting the station down because it was just a little rural station. And we listened, you know, we kind of took an interim between Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. We played Neverwinter Nights 1 for probably about a year or a year and a half, pretty consistently. Mostly persistent worlds. We didn't play a whole lot of single-player campaigns. But then we kind of got, like you were saying, we kind of got burned out with it or bored with it. So we played Unreal Tournament. We played Battlefield 2142 and Battlefield 2. And we got to listening to the Battlefield podcast. And I started looking for, and I think Trey and some of the other guys that were playing started looking for podcasts for games we liked, because we were saying, what's the next game we want to play?
Yeah.
And we looked at Guild Wars. Well, you know, World of Warcraft, as good as it is as an MMORPG, I just can't make myself let go of the subscription fee. I guess I'm tightwad that way. But Guild Wars is free online play, so we started looking at that, and they've got a couple of really good podcasts about that game. But there wasn't a Neverwinter Nights podcast, and we were just kind of, I can't believe with the game as successful and as long a life as this has had, and as big as a community as this thing has, that there's not a podcast about it.
Yep. Yeah.
We did a search on iTunes and nothing. I was like, wow.
So we just kept talking about it, and the more we talked about it, we said, let's just do it.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I had wondered about that. And I haven't been really into podcasts or anything. You know, I've seen them, I knew what they were, never really, you know, took the time to sit down and listen to them. In fact, going through, going through the shows you guys have on the site, that's, you know, the most I had ever looked into it.
Right. Very cool, Mike. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but thanks very much for the interview, and definitely we will be in contact with you on any getting your input on other stuff, too, as well, so if that's okay with you.
Yeah, no, that's fine with me. If you think I can, you know, be of service of some kind, I feel like I'm just playing around with the tool set, putting stuff out. You know, I don't feel like I know half as much as most people do, but apparently, you know, some people like what I do, so.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, appreciate you joining us, Mike.
So. Again.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
For site news, I also wanted to let you guys know that we have registered another domain name, this nwnpodcast.com, in case you were getting, like me, tired of typing neverwinternightspodcast.com all the time. So
you can also
access our site through nwnpodcast.com as well. So.
Yeah, big thanks to Kenji over at dungeonlandblogspot.com for adding this to his links. I talked back with him back and forth via email, and hopefully he'll be sending us an audio file about Dungeonland that we can include in the mod spotlight. In the meantime, check out his Dungeonland teaser. He has a teaser there, and we'll have the link in the show notes for you. Also, after listening to episode 6, Solace over at Sundren, every time we release an episode, he posts it on his website, by the way. Anyway, I thought his post for episode 6 was kind of cool. He goes, he posted a link to episode 6, and he goes, all the cool kids are listening to it.
Yeah, I really appreciate Solace over at the Sundren Pod, that they've been a big supporter of everything you guys started. And while we were working on doing, interviews for this episode, we, got linked up with an affiliate link on the NWN2 Mods site. So thanks to Mike and the team over there for linking to us. And we've also got a link to them on our links page there. So we've got that interview coming up, and I hope everyone likes it.
Yeah, and check out their website. It's a nice, clean website.
Yeah. We also did some kind of statistics recently on, I don't have a link right now, on our episode downloads, just to kind of give everybody an idea how well the show's going, and we've got a couple episodes that have been downloaded over 400 times, so you guys are helping us out and spreading the word, and more people are subscribing, and we're seeing the numbers show that, so we appreciate that, and hope that the podcast is getting better, so we're real proud of that. So.
Also over at GameBanshee.com, we finally got them to post some news about us. I won't go into that story, but anyway, they posted the following. The guys over at Neverwinternights Podcast dropped us a line announcing the debut of a weekly podcast dedicated to both Neverwinternights titles. They've already released several podcasts, including one that features an interview with Obsidian Entertainment designer Annie Carlson, so be sure to go drop by and check it out. So I appreciate them for putting this in their news.
Yeah, we earned that one. Hard way. Something else we've been talking about this last week, and we'll be posting more of this on our website as it comes closer to this, but January 20th, everyone on mark your calendars for January 20th.
2007.
Just so we're clear, it's 2007. We're going to be having what we usually have with our clan is a game day where we just play games all day long. And what we're going to do for part of that day is we're going to open up a public TeamSpeak server, and anybody that's listening that would like to come in and play or chat or just discuss stuff with us, we'd love to have you. It's going to be January 20th. We'll be starting probably around 10 o'clock and going till midnight 1, 2, or 3 in that Central Standard Time.
Yeah, Central.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, we're going to post the times on that, and we may be doing just Neverwinter Nights 2 for a big period of that time, but we may be doing some Battlefield 2142 or Unreal Tournament 2004 or some other games, so if you're going to be up and playing games and like to join us, mark your calendars for the 20th of January on 2007.
And this will be kind of like a trial run to kind of see how this works, because we've kind of been entertaining the idea of setting up a podcast TeamSpeak server that would be up all the time, so that if anybody wanted to ever talk about something, it would just be there and you could come, and if we happen to be online, you could catch us. If not, you wouldn't catch us. But anyway, it would be there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Well, this would maybe be a test out of that, see how it works.
Yeah, we're going to see how well that goes, especially when we get that many people on the server. And we are going to be recording all the discussions that happened on the TeamSpeak server throughout the game day. So if
be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And we probably are going to be using some of that in a up-and-coming show on multiplayer. Neverwhere Nights 2 multiplayer. Or Neverwhere Nights just multiplayer. We'll be covering Neverwhere Nights 1 and 2. So I'm kind of wanting to promote that just to see who all can show up and how many people are going to show up, because I think it'll be a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun just with the four of us on our clan, but with the listeners jumping in and out, I think it could be even a hoot. It could be a humongous amount of fun.
Humongous.
Humongous.
It'll be some humongous amount of fun.
Thanks for listening, and if you have questions or comments or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinteridgepodcast.com, or I don't think show@endofinpodcast.com will work, but we'll get that working soon. Or you can send us an audio by clicking on the send me an audio link on our website.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo. And I will add that we have gotten several of those out there in the last several weeks, but they're anonymous. So put your name on there so we know who you are, because I'm not going to announce anonymous.
Well, they've also changed the Frapper map a little bit, which makes it a little bit harder to find who's newest added to them. So that's why I haven't been able to find them lately. But yeah, I did notice that there are some new ones out there that are anonymous. So it's good to see that filling up.
Thrown up?
Filling up.
Oh, sorry. Dang, check the website.
So that's it for this week. Till next time, get in game.
And level up.
Level up, level up, level up, level up.
Some of the what?
Hang on a second.
Get a booger?
Yeah. It's going okay.
How's everything up there in Ottawa?
5 seconds in here and you're already talking about the fact that I'm a Canadian. It's like, find something else to do, guys. Come on.
Hey.
Go grab a stick and tie a piece of fishing line to it and do whatever you do out in the creek, okay?
Okay. And I say, hey, we've got to get ours in fast because we know we give everybody plenty of material.
That's what I'm talking about.